Man, y'all see, I got these fathers right here on this show right here. So before we go ahead and get started, I just want to let you know that I'm MNT. You see my co-host over here. Yeah, no trace, no chance. No trace. I'm being called in. Mondays, we also got doing live twice a month. We're doing it every other Friday, so not next Friday, but Friday after next, we're going to see a lot. So, the topic today is Black Father inclusivity, and it's important. Okay, so we all know that it's important for Black Fathers to be kids. We know it's important for Black Fathers to be in a household if they can be in the household. In social media, that there are times where the Black Father can't get access to their kids, you know, they do extremely things to do this to their kids' lives. Okay. So, no, and we're here to talk about that. We're here to just display the fathers that are not in the social media. We're here to display the fathers that are not commended in social media. Because we're bombarded by all the negativity that's there, we kind of lose sight of the good ones that are doing the things that they're supposed to do. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna drop some questions on y'all, and make sure you stay tuned in because we got the call-in line is gonna come. So when we drop that number in the call-in line, make sure you go ahead and chime in. So Terrence, Dre, Jeff, No Chaser, I'm gonna throw some stats at y'all really quick. Okay, okay. Last year I went to this seminar, and it was for Black leadership, and in that seminar it basically was talking about Black father inclusivity and what it means to be in the household and how it changed the dynamics of having that father there. Okay. Now, one of the things that came out, and this is going to be part of the Black Father Inclusivity series that we have, that's going to happen in February for Black History Month. Okay. So we have a whole series that's dedicated to that. So I pulled one of these questions here because I wanted to ask y'all these questions, because the numbers that we had heard during that seminar was very staggering, you know, to say the least. Okay. Now, so without the father in the household, we won't say without the Black father in the household, this is what I got from that seminar. Without the Black father in the household, 85% of kids have behavior problems. 90% are homeless and runaways. 71% of those kids, and this is nationwide, are high school dropouts. 63% of those kids commit suicide. 50%+ of those kids become rapists. Okay. These are numbers that were stated at this seminar. Okay. I can tell by the look on y'all faces.
Yeah, yeah, that's deep.
You know, that is deep. But in knowing that, I want you to tell me from just listening to those numbers, what do you think is the importance of having a Black father in the household? And Dre, we'll start with you.
I think it's major. At the end of the day, being in the household, man, you got to be able to stand up. You got to be able to realize that that's your creation. So at the end of the day, are you proud of yourself? Because at the end of the day, that's going to be a reflection of you, you know, so it's very important.
Definitely. So, and just thinking about that, how do you think your role if has affected your kids?
I see it every day. I spend a lot of time with my kids, and every single time they mimic me every single thing that I do. So mm-hmm. It basically just kind of put another perspective, like I have to be able to stand on everything that I do because these kids are going to imitate every single thing that I do.
That's true.
So it does kind of make me do like another self-evaluation check. Like, hey, am I proud of what I'm doing day by day? You know, kind of putting back the leadership skills in play, you know? Because again, it's hard for me to say, hey, go do your homework if they don't know what that looks like, you know? So it may take me pulling out a book, skimming it, reading it, just to kind of show them what it looks like, you know? So yeah, for sure, it's major.
Terrence, what's your thoughts on that?
I think it's really important. I mean, to be a Black father is a blessing, honestly, in my opinion, and to be in that household. It's hard to be a parent in general. So as a father, you have to be there to just show whatever, if you have a girl or a son, that leadership, that understanding, that love, because kids just absorb anything around them, not only you, but just your environment. Mm-hmm. So when they absorb that stuff, you got to be able to be not really like a filter, but just like an outlet so they can understand what they're absorbing.
Okay. So let me throw this at you. Listening to these numbers, do you think these numbers represent the Black culture? Do you think this represents Black fathers' absence? Do you think this will happen or occur whether Black fathers are in their kids' lives or not? Jeff, I'm gonna throw that one at you.
First, I think the numbers are crazy.
It is crazy.
Like, I don't know where they got the numbers from.
Well, they said they got it from the U.S. Census Bureau.
But if them numbers are right, man, like, I would see more Black rapists out here than I do white rapists. But when they show them, it's a lot of more white rape. I mean, white rapists.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's no Black rapists out there. It is. But
yeah,
when you got those, like, serial rapists, they're always white.
True.
That they show on news. But that's what I'm going to say.
But if you think about the Black culture, we are groomed to no snitching. We are groomed to keep it in a family. So when you say that, just because you don't see it on the news,
that's true,
doesn't mean that it's not happening.
So are you saying, when they say rapists, are you saying, are they raping inside the family, or are they raping outside just random females? Now, if you say raping inside the family, I could totally see that, because like you said, push this under the rug. This, whatever happens in this house, right, stays in this house.
Right.
I can see that. But how would they have them numbers then? You see what I'm saying?
Well, it could come from, you know, it could come from looking at criminal cases, because it's still rape, but those criminal cases are definitely biased. And the reason why I say that is because of the Romeo Juliet law. Okay. If you don't know what the Romeo Juliet law is, it's basically, if you're in high school and you're a senior and you date a freshman, you know, that even though it's consensual, you can still catch, you know, you can still catch a case, that's a criminal sexual conduct case,
right,
because that girl is legally underage.
Yeah.
So that is the Romeo. And they put that rule in there, not for that situation, but they didn't clarify that enough so it wouldn't capture those young kids. So if you 18 and you still in high school and you see a little senior coming in, you used to like popping off seniors and their parents catch it.
Right.
You know, they're like, oh, well, we're going to press charges because she 14, 15, she under the age of 16.
I totally agree with that. Shit, if my daughter 14, 15, and I see a 12th grader trying to stab her up, bro,
oh my God,
man, it's going to be a problem. So it's either save his life or save his life. I don't care what you say, but
hold on, but you act like you wasn't in that same position though.
When I was in high school, I never talked to no younger female. Never.
You ain't talked to no woman in 11th grade. 11th
never,
grade.
Never. I never.
Okay, first of all, everybody in 12th grade ain't 17 to 18.
That's true.
Hey, well, everybody in there ain't all 18. You got some at
17, some at 18. Right, you got some at 17. But the girl, she's still 14, bro. 14, 17. Wow. That's
a big gap.
It's a big gap, bro. Yeah.
17 and 14 is a big gap?
Yeah.
Because that's 3 years.
So you.
I'm not saying it's right. Hold on. I know
you're not saying it's right, but you're just saying they still in the same like mind frame.
Right.
But my thing is this. I would let my 17-year-old go wild downtown, watch the lights by herself or with her friends. Not by herself, but with her friends.
Okay.
I'm not letting my 14-year-old go downtown with 10 friends.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because at 14 and 17, you're talking about experiences. Yeah, you got 3 years of experiences that just change everything. I mean, you have immature people that are older, but still, that experience, you expect just a better judgment when you're out and about.
I get that.
14-year-old minds, bro, is not... They can be mentally somewhat mature.
Not most of them.
Right? But when they get out of your sight, and they got free range and they with friends,
so
there's anything.
So let me ask y'all that. So since we're talking about that, and Terrence, we're going to start with you. Mm-hmm. How do you knowing that your child, your daughter, is going to be in school, and let's just call it what it is. You know, she's going to be prey to the men that are there, 10 grade and up. Okay, because the ninth grade, boys, they try not to get beat up. I don't even know they do Freshman Fridays no more. They try not to get beat up. But how do you navigate, or how do you educate your child walking into high school, your daughter walking into high school and saying, you know what, as a young Black female, you know, you have to be more aware of what's happening going into the school. You need to be more aware of your surroundings, because man will prey on you. Man will try to take advantage of you. Mm-hmm. Man will try to rape you. So as a father to a Black daughter, you know, and not even just being in school, say she took the bus home, you know, on some occasions, you know, she rode with her friends, or, you know, somebody got in her head and said, you know, I want you to go ahead and skip with me, you know, because, you know, I really like you, and she's in her emotion. Like, how do you educate your child against, you know, those forces that may try to come against her to get her to do something outside of what you already instilled in her?
Well, I mean, you can't be there for every moment in your child's life. So they're going to fall down. Mm-hmm. So I think the best thing I can do is lay a good foundation of just experiences. Okay. And not only just when I'm teaching her how all men act. You may have a man who you don't like that'll do the world for you, and you got a man that you do like that won't give you the attention that you need unless you're doing something that's not really of your character.
All right.
So I think that just teaching her that, communicating that with her, and then giving her experiences, like maybe through daddy-daughter dances, taking her out to eat, taking her to dinner, just me and her spending time. Like, this is what a man's supposed to do. He's supposed to open your door. He sit down. He orders, you know, he helps order your food, and he, you know, things of that nature. Just really courting her to show that this is how you should be treated. Okay. Now, even with all that information in those, some of those experiences, that my daughter's still going to do what she wants to do, because she has to experience life herself. Mm-hmm. But hopefully what I've given her, she'll be able to navigate through the tough times.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, so first and foremost, I'm so happy I don't have no girls. but if I did, at the end of the day, I believe I'll have to just trust, like Terrence said, just trust the process, trust the foundation. Overall, just make sure that I instill the basic necessities overall. So at the end of the day, kids 14, 19, 25, they're going to do what they want to do. That's very important that, you know, you instill certain things while they're young. You be consistent, and you just be present. And then from there, I feel like, you know, that's going to speak for itself. That should speak for itself.
I already know what Jeff's answer is.
I feel so sorry for y'all, too.
I don't have a daughter. Okay, but, you know, coming from my perspective of having a boy, okay, and Andrew, I guess you can kind of ride with this because you said you ain't got no girls. You got two boys.
Hey, okay. Ain't nothing wrong with having a girl, though.
ain't nothing wrong having a girl.
So, I know how I was in high school, and I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, I was a ladies man when I was in high school, so I tried to, you know, push every line I think I could have on women or whatever, right? So I know my son kind of like that too. so I'm trying to, like, look, focus on school. You know, the women, they gonna be there, man. Like, don't worry about that. Like, and it's so hard because you're in class, you're trying to focus, and you know, you the ratio of women in the classroom to men is just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and by the time you get to 12th grade, you like, she didn't look like that in ninth grade. and I've been there. And sometimes I was in ninth grade, I'm like, hey, you came from eighth grade? You like you've been here before.
But that's the good thing about having the father in the household too, though. Because you
provide that guidance.
Yeah, provide that. Like he said, he can lay the foundation, you know, and make sure she knows. But like he said, she's going to fall, bump her head, whatever. But at the same time, I think I'm going to be there to catch her, bro. I'm trying to catch her every time.
So it's funny you say that. Like, I think a lot of parents be like, you know, all the time, like, well, you ain't did nothing that I ain't did. I done did it all, done seen it all. But even if you done it all and seen it all, you're getting older. So you're going to slip.
That's true.
You're going to slip. And all it takes is one day to slip. One day. Well, you could be on point. And one day you take an extra long nap and your daughter, your son out here, Ted Clover.
You know, the younger generation, they're going through a lot of challenges that we didn't have growing up. You know, social media was
Hold on. See, I got one for y'all since y'all want to talk about social media.
Cyberbullying, man. You know what I'm saying?
Cyberbullying ain't nothing, man. We went through that
bullying.
Hold on.
This generation is a little, you know.
Cyberbullying is actually worse than actual bullying. Let me explain. I can see the look on your face.
You ever see that little beehive, bro? Mess with Beyonce online if you want.
right. You're done.
So let me explain it. So I had a bully when I was younger. Okay. Matter of fact, he was a neighborhood bully.
Could have called me cuz I'd have handled that for you.
Man, you know how long it would take me to get to a rotary phone? So think about it like this. Your bully was in your neighborhood, or your bully was around the block, or your bully was at school, right?
I had no bully.
Because you was the
bully. He was the bully.
I wasn't no bully. I just had no bully.
But your bully was centralized and local to just one spot. Mm-hmm. When you went home, you didn't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. Unless you had a bully on the block, right? Mm-hmm. But cyberbullying is 24/7. And then you get unknown people in, chiming in, on a post that seen you, you know, get the pants or get a pot thrown in your face or get your ass whooped, whatever the case is, it's there.
Sure.
It's there. So it's hard to, because remember, when you put something online, it's there, there forever. As soon as it gets shared, it's done.
Right.
You know, so you can't get away from it. It's always going to be attached to you somehow, especially if they tag you in it. And then they keep tagging you in it.
Right.
Somebody put something online that's harmless. Okay. They think it's a harmless video, but then you got people going in on it. Hard.
Mm-hmm. It's tough.
You know.
It happened daily, man.
Yeah.
You're right.
Like I seen a video. It was this little video, whatever, like that. You know, this person on there, you know, they got their teeth fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was supposed to be high. One that really wanted with their teeth in the first place, but they got their teeth fixed. You know, it was something that they felt that would beautify them. Okay. Do you know people went in on this person?
Yeah.
Like they went hard. They're like, look at these Steve Harvey teeth you got. Like, I was like, dog.
I don't know, bro. I don't know, because that's what our kids' feelings
really do be hurt.
Yeah, they do.
That's what our kids have to navigate. You can't get away from it.
Right,
I'm not gonna take away from the fact that they're not soft, but it's just I'm not gonna take away from the fact that they're not soft. I'm just saying that it's more difficult to get away from the trauma because you can't just go hide from it. You can't turn your phone off because it's still gonna be there.
They send you screenshots.
Right.
Cyberbullying is just a whole nother animal because I mean, why would I go play in the street when I can go to my computer and I have all of Detroit right in front of me? Like literally, I get on Instagram, facts, all my friends, all my family, you know, from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, if I put some online, because I put some online, it's crazy. They come.
So along with that, looking at this generation and how they're so tech focused, okay, how do you navigate your kids around the propaganda that's being displayed online? How do you navigate your kids around that propaganda that's being displayed online? Because a lot of things you can't control with kiddie settings.
Facts.
Because I can tell you right now, my son was slick. Let me tell you what my son did. Okay. He had two phones.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And the first phone I paid for, and the second phone I paid for too, but I thought, you know, he wasn't smart enough like that, right? he put that damn thing on Wi-Fi.
Mm.
I caught him watching porn and I was like, bro!
Oh, no.
and if you think about it, I didn't even think that you would still have service on Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Finesse.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you're looking at technology and where you came from with technology and where technology is now, and then you look at all of the social media sites that they're on and all the information that they're gathering, they're getting more information than you are because they all get all the downtime
mm-hmm.
to navigate all that propaganda. So we're talking about you know, the LGBT community. Oh, we're talking about politics. You know, we're talking about, you know, anti-racism. We talk about racism. You know what I'm saying? We talk about non-binary. We talk about genderism. You know, we talk about racism. You know, we see the brutality. We see the inner color, the interracial colorism that happens. So just help me, walk me through some of the conversation or some of the ideas on how you can just kind of navigate, you know, those whims and woes that kids have to face today.
I think you just have to be as present as you want that tablet or phone to be. So you can't let the tablet and phone raise your child, even though they're going to spend a lot of time on it. Mm-hmm. You just have to be, as a parent, just as present as that tablet or phone. Okay. So what I mean by that is, obviously, they're going to get questions. They may see things. Their friends may be like, oh, look, I found this porno. What you all think? And then at that moment in time or those situations, as a parent, just show up and communicate and be there with your child to help them navigate through. Because if you leave them to their own imaginations or their friends' fairy tales about what they have or what they don't have, they'll run them up.
Now, Terry, I want to kind of jump back to a statement that you had made. You were saying that, you know, you have those dinners and you have those activities with your kids. In some cases, or if not all cases, do you believe that, you know, having that one-on-one time, does that allow them to confide in you with the horrors or the terrors that they deal with on an everyday basis when they go to school?
Maybe and maybe not. It depends. I think that sometimes, you know, certain parents have a certain, you know, flair about them that allows a child to open up. Not every child is not. I don't expect both of my children to open up to me the same way on the same topic. Okay. So okay. What I try to do is I try to just be genuine and transparent and allow them to flow.
Okay.
You know, I just want to let them know that they're frustrated. I'm an outlet, but they may not feel comfortable to me as an outlet. They may go to my wife. They may go to somebody else. But if I hear more about it, you know, I may throw my two cents in there to get them to talking.
Okay.
You know, I just want them to understand that I'm more of an active listener than a talker.
Okay. Okay. Trey.
Yeah. So just like what Terrence said, you got to pay attention, you know, then you got to respond accordingly, you know. My kids, they're still pretty young. They're 3 and 7. So it's still trial and error. So for me, part of that is, like, even with the video games, you know, I let them play it. But whenever I'm seeing, like, a response, like, if I say, hey, get off the game, and you damn near crying, and it's like, all right, let me go back and do a self-evaluation check, because there's no way I should be telling you this and you responding like that. So
put it.
Oh, my bad.
No, you good. I can hear you in the headset.
Yeah, so. So again, just kind of doing the self-evaluation check on myself, like, hey, you know, if you respond in a certain type of way that I don't agree with, then let's look at the root of, you know, why are you responding like that? You know, right. So have I been letting you play the game that much to where I'm pulling away, you respond? If so, I take responsibility. But we about to cut this game off and let's go for a walk real quick.
So I want to highlight something essential that both you had talked about that y'all hit on. And one is emotional intelligence, okay? And it's one of those things that you want to be able to... Emotional intelligence is still fairly new. And I read a book on emotional intelligence. It's basically being able to recognize somebody else's emotions, trying to put that emotion out of them, okay? And, you know, sometimes you can influence other people with your emotions and being smart about it. And kids don't understand their emotions and their reactions, because to them, they're just reacting on what they're thinking. They're reacting on their emotion, but they don't know what it is. They don't know how to recognize it. So I can commend you and say, having those conversations to kind of weave through, no, tell me what you're feeling. Yes, you do want to throw something. Yes, you are angry, but why are you angry? And identifying what that emotion is and identifying the root of that. So internally to them, they're now starting to pair what they're thinking with what their emotion is, mm-hmm. and they can identify it. And that's really essential in the Black community, because if you look at boys, you know, scientifically, you know, the frontal lobe doesn't develop as quickly as women does, as girls do. So they're still, all the way up to 25, they're still just reacting, mm-hmm. you know, off emotion with no kind of connection for why they're doing it. You know, I've been in that situation. I've reacted off emotion and created and caused some destruction.
For sure.
You know, because we all been there. We all reacted off emotion because we wasn't able to connect why we were mad to the root of what the emotion actually is. You know, Jeff.
I understand that. But once again, that all leads back to you have to have a great foundation, because if I don't know how to show my emotions because my father wasn't there or somebody wasn't there, how can I give that tool to my child?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why so many kids out here that's emotionally challenged.
Yes.
Because their parents don't know, their parents don't have the tool to give them, because their parents are emotionally challenged. Because we was raised, I don't know if y'all heard this, but oh, you a boy, get up, come on, you'll be all right, come on, just suck it up, you know.
Right.
Well, why you crying? Because my feelings is hurt. Why your feelings hurt, boy? Get, pop you in the chest. Come on, let's go. And you got to get up and roll with it, because that's either a father figure,
yeah,
B, a cousin that's older that you look up to. So it's like, all right, I guess this is how I'm supposed to react, you know.
So you hear that 10-15 years, you gonna have a different outlook, huh?
Man, it's totally different. So when your feelings is hurt after hearing that, like you say, 10-15 years, you say, okay, crunch this up, sit this down here, and I'm gonna stick my chest out. I'm mad. Hey man, what you talking about? I'll fuck you up. And then that's where all that come from.
Yeah.
But once again, father figures or fathers in the household have to be emotionally attached in order to give that tool to the child to say, hey, come talk to me when something is wrong, when your feelings is hurt. It's okay to cry. No problem. A lot of black people, that's not just fathers, that's mothers too, tell their kids, it's not okay for you to cry. These right. women are raising their daughters to say, don't cry, just get even with them. You know what I'm saying? Savage. So, facts. So if he hurt you, you hurt him worse. You hit him in the pockets. Why?
Right.
Why keep going doing this whole hurt circle? You know what I'm saying? I was looking at the internet and this chick put her ex-boyfriend, all his information out. Bank, credit card on social Ooh. Media.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean like social security card.
Yeah, social Ooh. Security card, all that, bro. She being charged for it, but who hurt? He is, man. That man is financially hurt now. But he can sue her, but how she gonna pay him? Because she about to go to jail. You see what I'm saying? True. So this if once again, if the parents are not emotionally stable to hand the right tools down instead of an empty toolbox and we just fishing in there, there's nothing the kids can do. The kids are already in a bad position.
I mean, that's true. That's true. I can, you know, this is a safe space, right? I mean, outside, you know, people watching.
This is safe. Don't leave this room.
Right, right here.
Outside, people watching. But you know, I'm not even gonna lie to you. Last year, I think I had like 3 or 4 cry sessions last year, just because life was getting hard and you were just running into that wall, and you started to realize that. You can't keep punching at the wall, expecting the wall to just break. And that's what I was facing with. You know, I was facing those walls and I was facing a level of vulnerability that I haven't experienced since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, you get so frustrated, so mad, and you want to take it on the world, but you can't. And all you can do is just break down. You know,
that part was years. Of stuff just built up though.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm safe in my masculinity to say that, you know, I had those sessions where I had to break down and reevaluate where I came from emotionally and mentally and say, okay, it's okay that I'm feeling like this, but I also know I got to get back up and get back out there and go and get it.
Sure.
I can't let it hold me down.
Right.
But I got to go back out there and get in, go out there and get it. And I think that's where when, you know, they talk about, you know, mental, you know, the mentality of it, just your mental, mm-hmm. you know, as a black man, as a black father, you know, to be 100% present with my son, to be 100% clear and honest with my son and transparency, I have to have those sessions because I have to be able to relate that to him and say, it's okay to cry.
For sure.
It's okay to be frustrated.
For sure.
You know, it doesn't mean you have to go out there and terrorize somebody or break something or, you know, throw your computer around because, you know, you can't get a hold on your emotions, mm-hmm. but it's embrace the emotions, understand where they come from. And then you kind of just navigate through there, right. You know, and once you can recognize that, you know, you become way more emotionally secure mm-hmm. in yourself.
Sure.
I ain't never cried, but I understand what you're saying.
Well, you know, dude.
You cried at your wedding.
Oh, hell no. I definitely didn't cry at the wedding. I was trying to figure out two things. Is the car fast enough to get me the fuck away? Or will she catch me? I'm playing. I'm totally playing. I ain't never cried. Fuck that. I ain't gonna lie.
All right. So before I go ahead and get to this next question, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. So, you know, go ahead and give us a call. We're going to go ahead and put the phone line, the phone number up. So you can go ahead, call us. You can go ahead, chop it up with me, M&G. You can go ahead and chop it up with Terrence. You can go ahead, chop it up with Dre. You can go ahead, chop it up with Jeff No Chaser. Now, if y'all want to hear Jeff No Chaser talk, listen.
You don't.
It's always going to go against everything that I say. he's been against the grain this whole time for some odd reason.
That's not true, man. I just said I don't cry.
Man, he cries, bro. Like
I probably cry in my sleep and don't know it.
You know what? It is a soft teddy bear under that exterior.
A soft teddy bear where?
Under that exterior.
Okay, we gotta go to Toys R Us and find it.
You don't be like that. All right. So I got another question for you, gentlemen. Okay. And Jeff, I'm gonna go ahead and start with you since you know you like to be averse to everybody. How do you raise your son and daughter with the idea of racism and police brutality? Now I'm gonna be honest, not to cut you off.
Go ahead.
This was a very uncomfortable conversation that I had to have with my son, especially since he started driving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, knowing that. Him going out into that world by himself, there is a chance or a possibility that he may not return, whether at the hands of somebody else,
mm-hmm.
the hands of the police officer, or anything like that, and just being an innocent bystander. And that can go for any of us,
mm-hmm.
okay? But it becomes really significant when you're out there navigating it yourself versus all the energy that you put into your child to navigate it, and you just want to make sure that they just make it home safe, like a car accident. Mm-hmm. I can deal with a car accident unless you're like doing 100 miles an hour,
right?
Just stupidly,
right.
You know, and there's a chance of survival there. There's not much chance of a survival of several bullet wounds.
Facts.
Right. So how do you have those conversations of racism and police brutality, especially since they see it,
mm-hmm.
and they may have questions.
I haven't had it with my 12-year-old because he's still mentally. A child, for real. He's still in. I want to play all day. I'm gonna hug you, but then I'm gonna run and go play. I'm gonna tag you, then I'm gonna run and go play. That's him. So I haven't had that talk with him. I have had the talk of when I get pulled over, you put your hands up. You make sure they see your hands, and you don't be doing no type of movement in the back seat. I have had that talk with him. But my 19-year-old, man, it's like talking to a branch outside when it's raining.
Like a 19-year-old.
No, I mean, like, for real, it's like you standing in the rain talking to a branch. Y'all both getting wet. So you see him there. You see it there listening. But ain't nothing happening, bro. Yeah. Like, because my son, he smokes weed now, okay? As long as you don't bring it in my house, I don't care. You know, as long as you don't walk in my house just stinking, smelling like weed, mm-hmm. you know, do your thing. But if you're smoking in your car and the police pull you over, it's a wrap. No, it's a wrap, bro. They're going to yank you out. They're going, and I know my son, he's not he's not belligerent. He's just nonchalant. So he's like, why you got me, man? Mm-hmm. Like, man, what you doing? And they go take that as disrespect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, when I say I talk to him, bro, I've sat and talked to him for hours, bro. Like, I thought I was getting somewhere. Mm-hmm. And next thing I know, bro, he's doing the same thing. Just out there driving fast. I'm like, do he smoke when he drive? I got to talk to my daughter. She's like, no, nah, but he be driving fast. I'm like, do he be high? He's like, I don't know. Like, dude, you got to do better. You're 19. I said, shit I wish I'd have known at 19. If I would have started and I'm doing stuff, I'm telling you, you're going to be so much ahead of everything else.
Facts.
If you jump on it now. But his whole thing is, man, I make enough money. I don't make enough money. And I make good money. You know what I'm saying? I don't make enough money.
Until you get that $300 speeding ticket, you'll be sitting there looking like, I don't make enough money. Man.
Right, you feel me? So it's hard, bro. It's hard to talk to them. Well, it's not hard. It's easy to talk to them. It's hard for them to grasp the whole concept of it could happen to me.
But I mean that was even hard when we were kids.
No, it was not with me. It wasn't, because I went to Central. Gang Squad was in gang. You could touch them like that. Man, that was Gang Squad.
I mean, bro, I went to Murray Wright. That was a middle ground for East and West Side.
So it wasn't hard for us to grasp because we seen it right there in front of us.
True.
Or it was happening to us. I didn't have Gang Squad snatch me up a couple of times. Mm. We didn't fought Gang Squad. We didn't ran from them. So when it's right there and you could touch it, you have better understanding of saying, this could happen. Let me slow down. Let me stop doing what I'm doing. Let me stop hanging with the people I'm hanging with.
Right.
But since my son was brought up in such a controlled environment, I'm not going to say the suburbs, because we wasn't always living in the suburbs. We wasn't always, you know, financially good.
Right.
So now that we are financially good, he really is like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Huh? What? Nah.
Let me guess. He think he part of the white people.
No, he don't think he part of the white people. He think whatever happens to him, my parents got me. That's what he think.
Oh,
he think, oh, if that happened, my parents got me, you know. Son, once you hit 20.
So how do you respond to that?
I told him, once you hit 20, son, you're on your own. Ooh, no 20? More, no, yeah,
no
bro.
21.
I'm gonna tell you like this here. I told my wife, I said, we're not gonna cut our kids off until we know for a fact they're financially stable. But when you have that child that won't listen, won't think, you have to show him that shit stinks
for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't let him walk around eating fucking lamb chops and ribeye steaks and
champagne, rice, no sauce, nah, none of that.
And he got $2 in his pocket.
No.
You know what? See, I think I did my son a disservice. Okay. And I'm going to tell you why. Now, we lived in the suburbs. We used to live down in Southgate. We lived in Southgate for about like 9 years, right? So we was like down and like in the suburbs out there, because that's it don't be nothing happening out there. Mm. You don't see a police officer. Yeah. You don't see too much of nothing happen. I mean, then black people start showing up. Then I start seeing police officers. But quick story. I did them disservice, but we live in suburbs, but I put them in DPS schools. Okay. Because I'm like, you got to have best of both worlds, bro. Like, you can have the silence, but you got to know what's happening in the inner city. Right.
Can't be too off track.
Right. Yeah. Like, you can't just be out here like, bro. Like, no, like, I can't have you like that. I'm going to tell you what happened. So we lived in the suburbs, and then we end up moving into the hood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what happens around, like, July 4th, right? Mm-hmm. You know they be popping off or whatever like that, right? So we all sitting in the house, and we chilling. So my brother's there, my mom there, so, and we hit, bah, bah. So my second one, like, are they shooting fireworks?
Nah.
I'm like, nah, bro. Those are gunshots, but go back in your room. It'll be all right. Everybody else in bat an eye, like, yeah, it's the usual. But because I provided him that safe space, and he never heard it, he wasn't used to it. So his mindset is, hey man, why they doing fireworks like that? Like, I ain't never heard a fireworks sound like that. Like, nah, bro, go sit down. So I guess it comes into like, do we have for our kids that live a particular life, whether it's helicopter parent, whether it's, you know, providing for them where they don't have to want for nothing, they don't have to go through struggle, they grow up believing that they don't have to struggle because they always had a parents. Do you generate or manufacture struggle the way that we had to go through catching a bus in 0 degree weather, you know, have to stand the bus stop, hands damn near freezing, about to fall off? Like, we had some struggles that we didn't have. You couldn't call nobody to come and pick you up unless you had, what, 35 cent, 25 cent to use the payphone? And if you didn't have that, you know, you was pretty much on your own. I can tell you right now, my mom wouldn't come pick me up. My cousin wasn't about to come pick me up. You know, it was either walk home or wait for the bus. And waiting for the bus wasn't an option when you see 4 or 5 dudes come around the corner and they looking at you like you lunch meat.
Yeah.
So how would y'all, I know y'all kids being younger, how are y'all preparing to get ready to tell your kids about the everything he just asked me about?
And that's a lot. And,
no, I'm talking about as far as the racism. And how, because remember, y'all still got years. Y'all got a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to get worse.
Actually, it is, because I'm not even going to touch on that point. But I'm going to let y'all speak. Go ahead.
So how would y'all even begin to go in?
My perception is, you know, for one, educate them. And then two, man, I'm sticking with it. You know, I kind of agree with what you said. You gotta teach them what to do in certain situations. You got to teach them being around certain type of particular crowds, kind of stress the importance of even going out. Like, hey, there's nothing wrong with going out, but typically, hey, you want to go out in Detroit on a Friday or Saturday night. That's typically the time frame that stuff happens. So I'm not saying that you don't have to go out, or, you know, you got to stay in, but Friday, Saturday night, you might want to kind of kick into somebody, you know what I'm saying, that you might know on a personal level.
Yeah.
But then, like you say, what Jeff said, man, you got to overall educate them, and then just hope when they get of age, 19, 20, that they have that foundation.
Hey Dre, you got to teach them the black questions.
You said what now?
You got to teach them the black questions. Hey, who all going to be there?
For sure.
What time y'all getting there?
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, what neighborhood is it in? Oh, you said 8 Mile? 8 Mile Lawson? Man, I think it was a shooting that happened over there last week.
just tell all your friends come over here.
Right. Be like, I mean, but that,
it's reality, man. You know, it's especially around Detroit, man. That is our day to day, unfortunately. You know, so you got to pick your poison sometime. You know,
man. Yeah. Just be honest with them. Just be honest with them with everything. I mean, obviously, you don't want to hold nothing back. Like, here go to, like, obviously they got the internet, they got the stuff. We're just showing, like, hey, this is what happens sometimes. People go out and need certain groups, certain people in Detroit. If you hang out with certain group of people, your friends, I mean, they may be your black friends or whatever, y'all can get popped off with around the wrong people.
Yeah.
Or you could be like, well, I'm just gonna hang with my white friends, and hey, you singled out. You know, something go left, and everybody looking at you, and the person that's the mass murderer is walking out the door. But they looking at you like, oh, what you doing here? So you had to have done it. So you just got to be, you know, use those real life examples, because they've happened. They've already happened in real life. So I could just be like, all right, sit down. We're going to have a little story time.
So, you know, just for the other fathers that are out there, and I really kind of want to hit on this racism, police brutality. What would be the conversation? You know, I know Jess said y'all kids are young, but, you know, them getting to that age, what is the conversation that you would have to say, this is what you need to look out for. This is what your behavior need to be. You get pulled over by the police, you need to do X, Y, Z.
So I would just say, to my children that being able to have a conversation is critical. Mm-hmm. And understanding that everybody isn't equipped to have a conversation and they may have leverage on you. Oh, so when good. The police come to you, they got leverage on you. They stopping you for whatever reason they want to stop you for, right?
Right.
They're a representative of the law. So have a mind about you to have a conversation to get in or out. So what I mean by that is we're going to figure out what's going on. Was I speeding? Cool. Yeah, I was speeding. I'm wrong. Boom. Or if they own some other stuff, like, you know what? Whatever you say, I'm out. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, you have to learn how to engage in that type of conversation. You got to be able to understand what is going on at that time. You never want to bluff somebody with leverage on you.
And so, the crazy part about the crazy part about it is he basically saying the kids have to de-escalate the situation from the damn police.
Exactly.
Did you hear that? The kids.
Yeah.
The kids have to de-escalate a situation from a trained police officer with a gun on his side.
First of all,
train them.
I mean, they got a high school diploma. I wouldn't say train would be the right word. I mean, I ain't got nothing against police officers. I'm just saying other countries need a bachelor's degree becoming a police officer. So, I mean, the standards are set a little higher.
So you basically saying Detroit police just need a GED?
First of all, some of the Detroit police people that I know are some of my friends. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
They don't know what I drive, so I don't care. I hate the police. I'm not even going to lie.
Let me scoot far back.
Right. So
that's not what I'm saying.
I wouldn't take that route.
I'm going to tell you why I hate the police.
I got a different perception. I had never no run-ins with police or anything like that, but just situations to where, from my experience, when I present them or come off in a certain manner, the perception that I have of what I'm going to get is the complete opposite of what I receive. So overall, one thing I make sure I reiterate to my kids, like, you know, these officers, they do have a job to do. And at the end of the day, their perception can be the absolute worst. So just, kind of, you know, I know it sucks to say, but you got to put their mind at peace because they are trained to think worst case scenario. So, you know, unfortunately, you might have to be a kiss ass for a minute until you can kind of keep them in a calm manner versus, like you say, versus having a 19-year-old like, hey, what's up? On the other hand, say, hey, I'm acknowledging I was a speeding or whatever the case may be, and kind of admitting to it to hopefully get a better response. But at the end of the day, just educating them. It's been happening forever and still happening now. It's just more vocal because of social media and et cetera. So
that's true. And that's one thing I can say about social media is that it's really opened up the social journalists or the personal journalists out there or the self-journalists that are out there, whatever they want to call themselves, or the freelance journalists that are putting that stuff out there, putting it on social media, even if you talk about the riots that were happening, you know, you could see that it wasn't Black people that were starting the riots. You know, it was another outside party that was trying to create discord within that group. So it wasn't even, you know, Black people that was creating those riots. So then it kind of makes you think that when you go back and you look at that stuff, you know, how much of it was a truth and how much of it was a lie, okay? To make Black people or Black fathers or anybody to look like the bad person. Mm. You see what I'm saying? And pushing that issue and that propaganda. So I want to ask, and this, it goes along with, you know, the propaganda of social media, with one of the things that is happening in this generation now, especially with younger kids, is the gender identity propaganda is being pushed on them. I can already hear Jeff. I'm not even starting with him. I'm gonna start with Terrence. The question here is that it is well known that you have these teachers, you have these individuals, you have these authors that is pushing this gender identity propaganda on little kids so they can, because they don't understand how to identify or to understand that there are two genders,
mm-hmm.
even though you may have a sex, your gender can be whatever you want it to be. So thinking about that, and because you have young kids, just thinking about that for a second, knowing that they go to school and they at school for 8 hours out the day, they sleep for 8 hours out the day. That means that you only have 8 hours of conversation, 8 to 10 hours of conversation
mm-hmm.
to kind of deprogram them from the propaganda that's being spewed on them that you may or may not be aware of. How do you navigate that? And I know it's a loaded question because there's no right or wrong answer to this because you don't know if it's happening or not unless somebody tells you about it. But it has been present on social media that these schools, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be a level of acceptance. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I believe that it's unfair that the propaganda is being pushed on little kids when already they are unknowing to the ways of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pushing them in a direction where you feel like you're giving them more option and choices, but it's also putting them in a mind frame where it's not their parents.
You're confusing the kids. You're confusing the kids. Just say it, bro. You're confusing the kids. intentionally.
Yeah.
You're intentionally laying a road for them to be tripping, falling all over the place because you stupid.
I wouldn't go that far.
Right. Because that person's an idiot. I'll put it that way. That person's an idiot. My bad. They're not stupid. Because you've grown 30, 40-some-year-old person telling this innocent, carefree mind that's a boy, hey, you might be a girl on the inside, you never know, so don't say you're a boy. That's not cool, bro. That's some level of
manipulation.
Manipulation is some level of coercion. I can't even think of the fucking word now. It's basically, to me, it's like a predator trying to groom.
Hey, we got a phone call coming in. Go ahead. Hello? Oh, it looked like we missed a call. Go ahead, Jeff.
It's almost like a predator.
If we missed you, go ahead and call back in. Because it was ringing. We just didn't get you in time.
Go ahead. Hello?
So 1 second, caller. I just can we get your name? We didn't get your name. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, thank you for calling in. Did you have any question for the guests? Terrence, Jeff, No Chaser, Dre, myself. You know about the topic.
Mm. We'll start from that way.
So honestly, I don't think there's one topic or one line of conversation that's more important than the other. I do believe that as a black father, one of the conversations that I will want to definitely have and I guess for my situation is different, but because my dad had me at 21 and I had my son at 21, I would want to have that sex conversation so we can kind of break down I wouldn't say a generational curse, mm-hmm. but moving away from women first, education second, mm-hmm. and doing education first, women second. So we can kind of establish getting your finances together. Don't have a mm-hmm. kid out of wedlock, doing it right. I know society will say, you know, she had a kid in wedlock and everything like that. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but just being able to have that conversation so we don't fall into the same trap.
Right.
Of starting from behind.
Right.
Okay. Cause we want to start from ahead. Cause you know, you have kids out here having sex at 14. You have kids out here having babies at 16. You have mm-hmm. kids out here having yeah. babies at 18. And you know, you having kids at 18, not saying that you're just not there as a parent mm-hmm. or at a maturity level to say, you know what, you know, I can take care of this kid. You're not financially there, you're not mentally there, mm-hmm. you're not emotionally there. So you develop that over time with the child and you mm-hmm. go through a lot of errors versus if you would have had a kid in like your 30s or your 40s. Yeah. Okay. Right. So from my perspective, that will be one of the important conversations to have.
I would just say all conversations are important. I think from my mindset is that I just want you to be able to talk to me. So just let's have any type of conversation, have any type of dialect so we can understand each other no matter what you're going through, no matter how old you are.
Okay.
Yeah, the same. I just try to have my kids are still kind of young, 3 and 7. So I'm just trying to plant the seed. We're just having that daily conversation, you know, even some simple picking up my 7-year-old, like, hey, how was school? Well, technically, I do it with my 3-year-old too. And when there's times where they are upset or frustrated, just trying to give them a chance to kind of vocally just kind of say what's going on, to kind of gauge, okay, maybe it is something. Or if I see like a little change in patterns, hey, what's wrong? You know, just trying to holler at them and see what's up. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Jeff, no chasing?
Mine would be... Mine would be the sex talk because by my kids being older and my wife had her first child at 16. That's basically like the same thing Mr. was saying. Just kind of have that more than all the rest of them, but all of them are important just because they're basically the black kids growing up. So my thing is with me and my kids, since they're older, it's the sex talk, but everything got to be more important than anything else, period.
I definitely agree. But Laura, you know, thank you for your conversation. Thank you for your call in. We really appreciate it. You know, this is a topic that needs to be had. We need to be able to relate to other men. I don't think that there's enough father groups that where they can just go ahead and just be able to lean on and have those conversations and have that guidance. There is no book that tells you how to be a father. There's no book that tells you how to be a parent. So, you know, we need to have these conversations, these hard conversations. We can't just have them behind closed doors anymore. We need to have them out there in the open. We shouldn't have to pay for this information in order for it to get out there, people to have somebody to relate to. Yep. Okay. The things that y'all have said today is in relation to what somebody out there is already thinking. But they don't have the support system. You know, they're doing it by themselves. They may not have their mother. They may not have their father. Mm-hmm. You know, they may have friends, but their friends don't have no kids. We are all in them situations. Okay. I'm a single black father, but majority of my friends are married. You know, how do I fit into that dynamic? Because I don't have any single friends. Right. You see what I'm saying? So if you have a father, you're a father, and all your friends don't have kids. Who do you lean to? Who do you talk to? So that's the purpose of this podcast, is to bring people in here to say, we're going to have these hard-hitting conversations to say what your experience is, whether you're a man or a woman, you still need that father there to show you, one, how to be a man, show you how you need to be treated as a woman, how mm-hmm. to treat a woman, Okay. And if you don't have that support system, you don't have that black father there, or just a father figure, mm-hmm. you know, how valuable is it to have a father figure growing up to show you the things that your father wasn't there to show you?
It's priceless, man.
I mean, more importantly, then next thing you know, you got, you know, which is, if it's, that's the only situation, but now you got women raising men to where certain, like you say, there's certain things not teach a man.
Right.
You know, so now you got a lot of young men with a lot of women tendencies because they don't even know how to respond, you know, the emotional part, like we talked about, you know.
Facts.
For sure. And there's just different ways to respond as a man emotionally versus a woman.
Right.
So, I mean, when you have those, when you have a father in a household, he can show his side mm-hmm. of an argument, his side of a discussion to his daughter or to his son. Mm-hmm. So they can see how a man reacts.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to cry, Jeff.
It is.
So,
well, y'all go ahead and do that.
So before we go ahead and wrap up, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and let these gentlemen go. You know, I want to thank everybody for coming in for the live. You know, I want to thank, you know, Lori for definitely calling in and having such a phenomenal question, asking what is an important conversation to have. Definitely go ahead and, no, hit that like button. Definitely go ahead and share this podcast. You can catch it on YouTube. If you're already watching it on YouTube, then go ahead and subscribe. We got more videos coming. We got another live that we're going to do this month. That's going to be another great topic. So we want to make sure that we're providing y'all with quality videos. But I want to just ask the panel, you know, one more question. And, you know, we just gonna wrap it up. I'm gonna start with Jeff No Chaser so we can get his BS out the way, you know, really quick. So we can get his BS really out the way really quick. If you look at everything that, you know, we covered and, you know, the essentials of a black father, you know, just in their kids' lives, do you think it's more beneficial for that father to be in the household or to be out of the household? And when we talk about out of household, we talking about strictly on the weekends, part-time. Which one has a bigger impact?
I think all of it has an impact. If the mother and the father is getting along, then of course he should be in that household. But if for some reason they're not getting along, of course I think they should separate and have their own space. Because when you're trying to stay together for the kids feel the tension. The kids sure. feel hear the arguing that y'all whispering. They hear that shit.
Yeah.
And I think if the father's going to be in the household, I think he should be in the household, not, okay, I'm going to go sleep with her and her, come back home, knock my wife off. Oh, get off me, girl. Go ahead and play somewhere else. If you're going to be in, I mean, that I'm in real.
Yeah. I mean, you hit me.
Yeah. So you got to be that father. Don't be that school father that come up there and be like, hey, that's my son. He getting all lazy. Get home and tell him, man, get it gone somewhere. Get on my nerves. You got to be a father. You got to be that guy, that emotional support. You got to be that. Oh boy, you did good. I don't care if the drawing terrible. You gotta geek him up so he can keep going. So once he get of age, that drawing could be your ticket out of this place. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I tell my kids all the time, I don't want you like me. I want you 10 times better than me.
For sure.
Because if you're 10 times better than me, I know for a fact I did something right.
There you go, Dre.
Simple, man. Regardless of the situation, I feel like you have to stay active. You know, weekend, part time. I really have no idea what that. It doesn't even sound. It's just like, what is that? You know,
weekend dad.
You got to be active. That means, you know, of course, you got to take care of responsibilities, which is work. But overall, if you're not at work, hey, taking care of kids, help with homework, school, drop off, pick up, doctor's appointments. I mean, it's no such thing as that's the mama role. You know, those are your kids, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I don't know what that part. Yeah, that sounds weird. Like, what? Drop my kids off on the weekend?
Look, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I've been called a weekend. You ain't nothing but a weekend dad. I was like, dang. Wow. Like, I'm doing my damnedest over here. I'm trying to be the best I can. Man. See?
I just think that you need to be there. You need to be present. It's never, from my personal experience, it's never the big things. Big things happen to everybody.
Yeah.
It's never the leak. It's the pressure that kills you. So it's kind of like to be there and be present for the small things. And those small things will add up into something big and make you hopefully create a better child later on down the line.
Sure.
Okay. Hey, you know what?
Acting like he had like 5-6 kids in this train, man. My man in here landing down thick, boy.
No, I just got a lot of guy kids, man. I just be taking gems from everybody that's ahead of me. That's all.
That's a fact.
And you need that. And I can't reiterate, the value of this podcast to other fathers. You know, those that are navigating the child support system, whether it's in Michigan or whether it's somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
Those that are, struggling to be in their kids' lives or just struggling trying to make ends meet. Sometimes it's not about the money.
You got some bitter baby mamas too.
Yeah.
You got that?
Sure.
And one thing I want to say to every man that's out there, don't think that you have to be financially secure to take care of your child.
Mm-mm.
Because the little things that you do, just like T said, the little things that you do makes the biggest impact.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Walking your kid to school every day and having that conversation, they remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes value.
For sure it does.
You know, I can't tell you how many lectures I gave my son on the way to school. Like starting at kindergarten, like it was just lectures and he'd just be in the back seat like, ain't lecturing me again. Not in high school, he like, you about to give me another lecture? It's about to be a long ride. Now he's going to sleep, so I can't talk to him.
Now he probably say the lecture better than you. All right,
you repeat
it
right back.
He be throwing it back at me too. I'd be like, bro, like, where you hear that from? I remember this one time you had lectured me about it. I was like, is that many lectures?
Sure.
Now I was like, I ain't got to say nothing. Like,
as long as you know.
Yep. Yeah, that's the reward by doing the small things. It's not about the money. It's about the time that you spend. I learned two things is valuable to man is time and money.
Sure.
And if you, Jeff,
my bad, man. My mind went somewhere else when you said two things. I mean, my bad. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Time and money, right?
Time and money. Definitely time and money.
Yep. Money and time.
Yep.
I want to thank our special guest. Don't mind Jeff No Chaser. I want to thank our special guest for coming out here. Thank you, Drake. Thank you for coming out here, man. We look forward to having y'all back on the show, man. We gonna have more topics.
Oh, best
believe it.
No doubt.
Jeff No Chaser, I expect you to be exactly who you are.
Can't be nobody else, man. Can't be nobody else.
And I am M&G. And this is Live with M&G and Jeff No Chaser. Thank you to our special guest. Make sure y'all go ahead and hit the like, subscribe button. Make sure you go ahead and share it. Make sure you hit the notification bell so you can be up to date on all our podcasts that we're going to do. So we'll catch you later. We out. Peace.